On behalf of Weinberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and today I'll be your host for Sophisticated IRA Annuity Planning with Bruce Tannehill. Bruce Tannehill is an attorney and a CPA, and he's the Vice President of Business and Estate Planning for Western Reserve Life. Among his many professional activities, Bruce coordinates trust and estate CLE programs for the American Bar Association, Real Property Trust and Estate Law Section. Today, Bruce's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent those of Western Reserve Life. Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be with you.
Bruce, I thought what we'd do today is talk about the very sophisticated strategies that are rapidly developing in the world of qualified annuities. So someone leaves their employer, they roll their pension plan into an annuity. It's similar to an IRA. And then they purchase a guaranteed annuity. In our last broadcast, Michael Kitsis joined us, and he went through in detail many of the contractual provisions of these guaranteed annuities. Today, Bruce, what I'd like to do is explore the estate tax and the income tax side of this. We all know that from an estate tax perspective, the death benefit or the total value of these annuities will be included in a person's taxable estate. But there are many income tax strategies that we should review. Now, Bruce, let me give you kind of a factual situation, and I want to walk through three or four ideas. Let's assume that a client is over age 65, owns a qualified IRA annuity with a death benefit greater than its cash value. So let's say somebody had invested $200,000, and now it's only worth $100,000, and they have a Roth conversion value of $120,000. Now, in general, we know that not everyone's a good candidate for Roth conversions. But, Bruce, one thing we've been talking about is when the death benefit exceeds the conversion value that we convert to a Roth IRA each year, even if we simply recharacterize the following year, wait 30 days, and then go back into the Roth IRA. And the reason for this is I think if somebody dies during the year, what happens is that Roth death benefit, quote-unquote, would be tax-free. Bruce, help us out in understanding this strategy and where there may be good candidates. Clearly, a 90-year-old where the death benefit is the same as the cash surrender value isn't a good candidate, but what about the 65-year-old where there's a big gap between the cash value today and the death benefit?
In that situation, our client who's 65 or so is a very good candidate for a Roth conversion because if they convert to the Roth and die in the same year that they do conversion, they will pay the tax on the Roth conversion value, in your example, $120,000, but the death benefit that exceeds the Roth conversion value, $80,000, is going to avoid income taxation. If they are in a 35% tax bracket, that's going to save them about $28,000 of tax. That's money that their heirs will receive income tax free, and no one would ever pay tax on that $80,000 of value.
So let me get this right. The 65-year-old on January 1st, say of 2012, would convert to the Roth IRA. Then he would hold it in the Roth IRA until January 1st, 2013. And if he died in the meantime, we'd have this conversion be tax-free, or the death benefit would be tax-free. But then on January 1st, 2013, he would recharacterize, go back into the regular IRA, and then under the law, 30 days later, he can duplicate the same process. So this is not a strategy to increase more wealth if you die when you're 90 years old. This is a strategy that if you die early, that you're going to pick up that gap and convert it into a tax-free death benefit. Is that fairly straightforward?
Yes, it is. We're taking advantage of the death benefit, and by the Roth conversion, we're making that income tax-free.
So the bottom line on this, some clients will die early, and the benefit from the tax savings for the gap between the Roth conversion value and the death benefit is going to be substantial.
That's right. And it's something that they can do every year until the Roth conversion value equals the death benefit. They can look at it every year.
Now, yesterday, Michael taught us about two types of contracts, the dollar-for-dollar contract and the percentage contract. And I know the strategy when you have a dollar-for-dollar contract, which would be one of the older contracts, is let's say it was a $500,000 annuity originally, and now it's only worth $250,000. What some financial planners, smart people, would recommend you would do would be to take out $240,000 of that, leave $10,000 back in, and then that $10,000 of value is going to carry another $250,000 of death benefit. And clearly that's something the insurance companies do not like, but it's a difficult situation because that's the way the contracts were written. So if you have that, that's more of a financial play. But let's talk about when we have the other type of contract. In the percentage contract, let's say you have a client that's over 65 and they own a qualified IRA annuity with a death benefit that's greater than the face amount. And I had a live example in my practice where the death benefit was $2.2 million, the cash surrender value was $1.1 million, but the Roth conversion value was $1.4 million. And we did the conversion, Bruce, because the person had a very large NOL. So we weren't really driven by this. But then after I did that, I saw what really great thing we had accomplished, because this was a percentage contract. And once my client reached 70.5, what was going to happen is he was going to have to begin taking RMDs. And the way I understand this, because the cash value and the cash value was half that of the death benefit, basically for every dollar I took out of the IRA, I would lose $2 of death benefit. Is that more or less how these contracts sometimes work?
Yes, it is, Bob. That's how the contracts can work. So the death benefit is reduced pro rata by the amount of the distribution. So in your situation, they would take out a dollar and it would reduce the cash value of the contract by a dollar, but reduce the death benefit by $2.
So in many of these contracts, the RMD is going to cause the death benefit, the required minimum distribution is going to cause the death benefit to be reduced by an amount much greater than the RMD itself.
That's correct. And in some contracts, the death benefit can be reduced by even more because of the way the contract and the various features are structured. So it might be reduced by more than $2 for every dollar that they take out.
Now, Bruce, what would happen if a person, let's say at age 69, converted over to the Roth IRA? So they convert to the Roth IRA in the traditional individual retirement account that was converted to a Roth, there would be no required minimum distributions. First of all, does the same rule apply with an IRA annuity?
Yes, it does. An IRA annuity is subject to the same RMD rules as a regular IRA that might be invested in a series of mutual funds.
So let's just say that I had a client where the death benefit, again, was twice that of the cash surrender value. And I'm using that for easy math. But if I did not need this capital to live on, would I not be wise to convert over to the Roth IRA, never have the pressure of the required minimum distributions, because that required minimum distribution is going to destroy my death benefit if I give it enough time?
Yes. There is something that can make a great deal of sense for a client to convert to Roth IRA and avoid diminishing the death benefit of the contract because of the RMDs that were required under a normal IRA arrangement.
So the strategy in these cases where there's a big gap between the death benefit and the cash surrender value assuming you do not need the money to live on, you would just convert over to the Roth IRA, never have to take an RMD, and then you're going to be able to protect that death benefit. So that, you know, you'll have that death benefit when you die.
That's correct. If they're a good candidate for a Roth IRA conversion because they don't need the money and they have funds other than the IRA to pay any taxes, they would be a very good candidate for the strategy.
Well, Bruce, we covered three things today. Let me just summarize. One is we talked about the general strategy when the simple strategy when you have a dollar-for-dollar contract, how taking the money out of the annuity may make sense. And that's something for the financial advisors to really study and see if they would have a contractual advantage in those situations. Very unfair to the insurance company, admittedly, but very good for the client. Second thing...
Not something we publicize.
Well, exactly. And then second thing is we talked about when there's a percentage contract, we want to avoid having to take out the RMDs and reduce that death benefit by, you know, perhaps one or two times our required minimum distribution. And thirdly, even if the client is not a good candidate for a Roth conversion, if they're younger, say 65, and the death benefit exceeds the conversion value, we might do an annual conversion only to recharacterize and just maintain that pattern in the event the person dies someplace between when you have the big gap between the death benefit and the cash value and when there is no more gap between the cash value and the death benefit. So really, three very interesting strategies. Bruce, I want to thank you on behalf of Lineberg Information Systems for being with us today, sharing your knowledge. You have 30 years of experience in the life insurance business, and you're a brilliant tactician, and we're so glad you could be with us today. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Bob.
On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler with Bruce Tannehill. Thank you for joining us today.